Good morning. It's a long day already. I promise I won't keep you so long. I'll be done when I'm finished. I'm just joking. I won't keep you here for long. And I'll also make the life of the camera people a bit easier by not moving so much from here. Amen. People always thank the leadership of the church and the pastors for the opportunity to preach. But I do mine differently. I rather thank you for being here. If you're not here, then I wouldn't be here to preach. So, thank you for coming. Hallelujah. To some people today, this might be a new message. And to some, it might just be a reminder of those things you have neglected. And to some, actually, it will be an opportunity to go back to the drawing board and make amends. Amen. Amen. On Sunday, the 30th of June, Brother Olu graciously brought the word of God, and he titled it, the pursuit for fruitfulness and growth. And then at the end of his message, he left us with a question. What could get in the way of us being fruitful and bearing fruit for God? And by the grace of God, this is one of the things we're just going to unpack. Three of those things that could lead to unfruitfulness in the sight of God. I normally do not give titles to my messages because I believe so much that you would title any message depending on the impact it has on you. If you remember the Israelites, they will always call God by the name of what he has done for them. And that's why you have Jehovah Rapha, that's when he heals them. Jehovah Jireh, when he provides for them. So, but today I'm going to title my message, quite unlike what I used to do, or normally we do. Let's read Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 50. I'm going to put my pastor on the spotlight. Pastor Paul, where's the microphone? You are going to read all my scripture today. Thank you. It's an honor. All right, so Songs of Solomon, be there. Chapter 2, verse 15.
Song of Solomon 2 verse 15 says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom.
Amen. Catch all the foxes, those little foxes that ruin our vineyards. So this is reminding us of those little but very important things in our life that we often neglect. And I was asking myself, why of all the animals God decided to use fox? It's because of one special character that the fox seems to possess, and that is very cunning and crafty. The fox is very manipulative. I will not go further to tell you how it traps its prey. If you go back and read it, you see it's very crafty. Hallelujah. So my message today will be entitled, the little foxes that destroy our vineyards. So there are some little things you tend to neglect in your life. But actually, they are very important. And as I mentioned previously, we will explore three of those things. There are foxes. And the first one is this. Can we see it? Pastor Paul, I want you to read for me Luke chapter 17, verses 1 to 5.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Things that cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. It would be better for him to be thrown into the sea with a millstone tied around his neck than for him to cause one of these little ones to sin."
To five.
"So watch yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. If he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, 'I repent,' forgive him." The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith."
Hallelujah. The apostles say to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Increase our faith." I don't know how many times in the scripture you've ever heard the disciple say this to the master. This is the very first time and the last time, because this is a very difficult thing to do. If you have a wife, if you have a husband, if you have a brother, a sister, an uncle, cousin, if you have an employment, if you go out, if you have blood running into your system, you cannot escape this. Offense definitely will be coming your way every now and then. But then how do you handle it? How do you handle offenses? If you do not handle this properly, it will lead to the next fox we're going to discuss. And that is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 to 27.
"In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold."
Right. And that is the next one, the next fox. See how tiny that seems to be? If you don't arrest it, it will escalate and get to this bigger one. And that is anger. It's really not bad to be angry. As a matter of fact, we have righteous anger and unrighteous anger. Jesus Christ went to the temple and drove them out. What were they doing? They were desecrating the house of God. You can be angry when you see things not going the right way for God. Okay? But then, how do you handle it? Bible says it's okay to be angry, but do not let the sun go down in your anger. I'm not going to dwell so much on this. The third fox is where I am going to unpack a little bit more. And that is in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 14 and 15.
Hebrews 12, verses
14 and 15.
14 and 15. "Make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one misses the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many."
Hallelujah. And that is the biggest of all the foxes. So we're going to dwell a little bit on this one here, bitterness. And I want us to really be very sincere with ourselves. Are you bitter in your heart? I'll let you ponder this question. First of all, bitterness causes defilement in yourself, first of all. Not just against somebody else, but yourself. Bitterness. And that reminds me of what Nelson Mandela, with blessed memory, said. He said, bitterness is like you sitting down in your house, getting a glass, pouring poison into it, and drinking it, and expecting your enemy somewhere there to die. That is so wrong. If you drink that poison, it certainly will cause you to die, and not your enemy. Now, I'm going to ask this question. How many of us have ever heard about this wonderful novel called The Great Expectations, written by Charles Dickens? How many of us? Put your hand up. Okay. How many of us have either read it or watched it in a film? Okay, so I'm going to be very careful to explain it because I know some people here knew about it. There's this woman called Miss Havisham. She was very, very rich. She has everything. Name it, silver, gold, anything. She has it. And she went into a relationship. And she went as far as planning her wedding. She has everything in place. The musicians, everything. And then she went to the venue very early in the morning because she was so looking forward to this wedding. She waited and waited and waited. The would-be husband didn't turn up. She waited and waited and waited. He didn't turn up. So she went back. She went back home in her luxurious home and asked all the maids to go around the whole house and stop all the clocks in her room, in the bedroom, in the lounge, in the toilet, everywhere that's a clock, anything that tells time. Stop it. Everything was stopped. 10 minutes to 9, 8:50. The clock, everything about her life, everything about everything at all was stopped. Because she was disappointed. She became very bitter. And she decided, I must revenge. Definitely I must revenge against this. So she adopts a young lady, very beautiful lady called Estella, and poisoned this beautiful lady with every act of poison at all. And she sends her away to go and revenge. Estella will see a young boy and fake to fall in love. And the relationship will go very nice and nice and nice and nice and nice. And they will go as far as planning wedding. And the lady will just abandon the guy on the altar and run away. That's all she was doing all her life. Bitterness. I tell you what, one bitter person in the church can ruin a church. And bitter people attract bitter people. Immediately they see someone that is bitter, they will know. And before you know it, are you okay? No, not really. and they begin to tell story. Before you know it, they have a big group of bitter people. So Estella was doing this to revenge against what was done to Mr. Havisham. Are you bitter because of what somebody has done to you or what someone has done to someone you know? Be careful. Havisham refused to remove her wedding gown for 20 good years. She'd go to bath, she'd come out of the bathroom and wear the wedding gown again. She'd go to the toilet, drag the whole thing, the long gown, and come back and sit down. For 20 good years, she wasn't with this gown. The cake was sitting on the dining table for 20 good years. She was locked in the prison of bitterness. Until one day, she was dragging this luxurious wedding gown and she went past a fireplace around her lounge and the wedding gown caught fire and she was burned dead. Both herself, Estella, and all the maids were burned to death. Yeah, you could say, oh, Phil, that's fictitious, and then what has that got to do with me? But let's take it a little bit spiritual. Have we ever heard about a man called Ahithophel in the Bible? Ahithophel? We may not go into reading it. Let me just tell us the story in the Bible. If you care to read, you could go to 2 Samuel chapter 16. But let me just tell out the story briefly because of time. You know about Uriah and Bathsheba. Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba. Bathsheba was that beautiful lady David had some dealing with when he refused to go to the war. And I may not have the time to link the whole story, but then Bathsheba is the granddaughter of Ahithophel. So the defilement of David on Bathsheba was what made Ahithophel very angry and bitter. But then Ahithophel, the Bible says, is the number one counselor of King David. Now, let's read 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 23. Can we have it on the screen? Shall we all read it together? One, two, go. Thank you. In fact, one of the translations I was reading last week said Ahithophel was like an angel. What Ahithophel was just an oracle. He hears direct from God and communicate to human beings. But then because of what David did to his granddaughter, made him very, very bitter. And what happened? Let's just go just one chapter ahead. Chapter 17, verse 23. Let's read again. The same Ahithophel. Want to go? That same oracle that we read just a chapter away. What made this man, this oracle of God, move from a position of hearing direct from God and communicating to human being into being so bitter to have planned his own death? It wasn't by accident. He planned it. And he actually wrote his will. He put his house in order and died. Why? He was so bitter. Because of what? What David did. Why are you bitter today? Has someone violated you? It could be a disappointment of a spouse. Or a letdown of a business partner. Why are you bitter today? Before we moved down to Sheffield, I was working with a very sensitive government organization. And my main job entails interviewing young girls between the ages of 18 to 22. Paulette will relate to this story more than maybe some of us. So, the essence of this is just to get to the bottom of why they committed those horrendous crimes. And I can tell you, 99% of them will always come back to say, Phil, I did it because I was bitter. Because of what they did to me. Or to my family member. And on one of these days, I was interviewing a young girl, 22 years of age. And she told me, she broke into tears and she told me, Phil, I killed my uncle because he violated my younger sister when I was age 15. So she carried this bitterness for 7 good years and she killed her uncle. 7 years of carrying this bitterness in her heart. So I said to her, now, if I get you into a parole system and you come through, what will you do when you are out there? And she said, Phil, if I had the opportunity of seeing my uncle again, I'll kill him. Bitterness. Bitterness and resentment. I don't know. You might think it's just a little. It's not. That's a big fox that will ruin you. That will ruin you. Ahithophel hung himself for an offense committed against the granddaughter. Killed himself. Let's be careful. Let's really be careful. You know, when Ahithophel was recruited into being King David's counselor, he was in the church. David got him in the church. So maybe you say, yeah, for the unbelievers. Some of us here are really bitter. Some of us are really bitter. At the end of this sermon, the prayer team will come out and I will go for prayer. I struggle with forgiveness sometimes. I'm not here preaching because I am innocent. I'm not. And if you are genuinely sincere with yourself and your Christianity and you know you want to make heaven, you come out for prayer. You might be bitter. you might be bitter because of what someone did. You see, sometimes, have you ever been in a church where maybe someone comes in and you went, why do they walk like that? Or maybe someone is during praise and worship, why do they just sing that loud? Maybe someone is clapping. Does she think she owns God? You know, it's bitterness. It's bitterness. It might sound funny, but it's bitterness. And someone walk into the church, why do they have their hair like that? Maybe someone just came in and then sat down. Why did they sit like that? You complain, you murmur over every single thing people do. You are bitter. There's bitterness. There's root of bitterness in your life. Take time to arrest it. Bible calls it little foxes. They really do what? They destroy the vineyard. That will do. Time is fast spent. Let's just consider just one more person and we pray. Absalom. Absalom. Absalom is the first son to David, King David's second wife. But the first wife gave birth to a young man called Amnon. And then Absalom has a sister called Tamar. So Tamar is a half-sister of Amnon. The story is so messy, and I don't want to read it here. If you want to read it, 2 Samuel chapter 13 to 15, you read the whole story. It's so messy, I don't want to read it. Yeah, it's so filthy. So one day, Amnon fancied his half-sister and then had his way and did whatever he did. And the Bible said, Absalom took law into his hand and decided, I must revenge against what Amnon did to my sister Tamar. So he planned it and orchestrated an occasion, feast in his house, and invited his brothers and sisters. Come and rejoice with me. Come and eat with me. You see, no matter how much you fake it, God knows you are bitter. The anger, the resentment, the bitterness will always show, no matter how you pretend not to have it. Absalom invited, spent money to organize a very big banquet. And in the process, he made Amnon drunk and killed him because of what he did to his sister. Not to himself. There's reason. I mean, there are reasons everywhere to be angry, to be bitter. How do you handle it? If you don't handle it properly, it will affect you. Research has proven that it takes 43 muscles in our body to get bitter. It takes only 17 to be happy. By the time your body gathers all these muscles together, 10, 20, 30, 40, your body is tired. And that's why those bitter people get old quicker. Believe it or not, it's true. It's true. Your body will be exhausted to gather all these muscles together to get bitter. You know, Bible says laughter does good like medicine. Smile, it doesn't cost nothing. Smile, always be happy. Look, I am a testimonial to this. You might think I'm young. I am not young. I look young just because I don't allow anything to bother me. I don't have time for bitterness. I promise you, you will never ever see me crossed. No. I always be bitter. Even in the office. Phil, what makes you high? Do you drink? Do you? I don't drink. I drink Holy Spirit. I drink happiness. Okay? If I don't go to work, I mean, they will keep saying, Phil, it was like a cemetery yesterday. You were off. Yes. I can guarantee you that. Watch me. I just joined this church last year. Have you ever seen me angry?
No.
Okay. Watch me. In the next 20 years, if Jesus does not come, I will ask this question again. You see, stop being angry. Stop being angry. Be happy. If someone has offended you, go approach them. Sort it out together. Iron it out. What finally happened to Absalom? Do you know? Anyway, before I go there, Bible said David heard about what Amnon did to Tamar, but did not do anything about it. Mom, dad, parent, father, mother, when your children come to complain about what the other one did, how do you handle it? You just sweep it under the carpet? And you think, yeah, don't worry. No! David swept it under the carpet, did not deal with it. And that was what brewed into this big, hairy, ugly monster. And Absalom killed Amnon. Had David called them to say, Amnon, what did you do to Tamar? Do you really know that Tamar is your sister? Why did you do this? And they would talk about it. You wouldn't have escalated to this point of Absalom killing the brother Amnon. Right. Did Absalom go scot-free? I mean, bitterness will always brood and grow and grow and grow. Do you know Ahithophel harbored his anger for 7 years and came back? I told you previously that bitter people will always attract bitter people. Hurt people does what? Hurt people does what? Yes. If you see someone who has hurt someone, you've been hurt before. And they left it untreated. 7 years, Ahithophel was brooding over this and finally came back and joined Absalom, who was against David. That was it. And what happened to Absalom? He conspired against the dad. Why? Because the dad failed to deal with what Amnon did to the sister. Please, take time to uproot these things. Deal with it. Deal with it from the early stage. Don't let it escalate. It will kill you. It will really come after you. Where our beloved pastor read says, it causes defilement. It doesn't defile just you. It defiles people around you. Have you ever been happy? Very, very happy. Jumping and singing. And you came to an environment and someone is bitter. What do? You sink into that bitterness right away. You sink into that bitterness right away. Because you will be influenced by the atmosphere around that place. If you are bitter, people around you will definitely inherit that bitterness. It's contagious. Happiness as well is contagious. Come close to me and you will not be bitter. I promise you. Honestly, I don't have time to brood over offenses. No way. I'll tell you that. My wife will just always say, sweetheart, be diplomatic. I say, there's no diplomacy here. I will just say it the way it is and then let it go. I can't pretend to be happy with you when I know you've hurt me. No, we will discuss it and trash it there and move on. If Ahithophel had done that, he wouldn't have hung himself. What about Absalom? We knew how he died. He was going after the dad to seize the throne of his father. And in the end, he ran into his father's army and his hair cut into the trees, and then he died. He died hanging, dangling. And Joab actually went close and found out, he's still breathing, and he killed him. The chief commander of David's army went and saw him dangling on a tree and killed him, stabbed him to death. Anger, bitterness. Please, if there's any atom of anger, offense you are brooding, arrest it now before it will escalate to bitterness. Now, can you? I just want to tell us just one little thing and we go. Pastor Paul again. Read Genesis chapter 50, verses 19 to 21, and we'll close.
Genesis
50. 50. 50. Verses 19 and 21.
Verse 9. Chariots and horsemen.
19.
19?
To 21.
19 to 21.
Yeah, go on.
But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is being done, the saving of many lives. So then, don't be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them.
Good. If you were Joseph, would you have done the same? Would you have said the same? Would you have said the same to your brothers who actually betrayed you and sold you out? Would you have said the same? Would you? Let's be sincere with ourselves. Would you have handled the situation exactly the way he handled it? I tell you what. Joseph gave birth to his first son and named him Manasseh. You know what that means? I have forgotten. Manasseh, that's his first son's name. I have forgotten. I have forgotten all you did to me. The Lord turned it for good. The name of his first son. And the second son he named Ephraim. Ephraim means fruitfulness. If you don't forgive, you can't be fruitful. No way. The first one came, I have forgotten. I have forgiven. And then the second son, fruitfulness. There's no two ways about it. No matter how much you fake it, this law must take its course. You have to forgive, you have to forget, and then you become fruitful. Amen.
Amen.
So before we pray, before I will come out there and be prayed for, if you think you are in the same position with me, if there's something someone has done to you that you are struggling to forgive, Maybe I need to tell you this. Pastor John approached me in May this year and asked me to prepare a message to preach. That was in May. How many months ago? I kept avoiding him. He will tell you the truth. He will tell you. Each time I see him, I will avoid him because he will say, Phil, when are you going to preach? Do you know why I've been avoiding him? I have an in-law who I have never spoken to 3 years. For 3 good years, I said I wasn't going to call her because of what she did to me. A sister-in-law. And I got this message. Bitterness. And I thought, no, I am not going to stand here to preach this message until I forgive that girl. So it was just about 2 weeks ago. I mustered enough courage, picked my phone, and called this lady, and we trashed it out. And that's why I'm able to preach this message today. I don't know, some of us, you are so, Bible calls it reprobate mind. In your heart has been sealed with hot iron. The word of God does not touch you anymore. You wear a deflective jacket. Oh, that's for that sister. Oh, that's for that brother. That message, this is not mine. You keep deflecting the word of God instead of taking it in to say, God, I'm sorry. This has really touched me. I repent. You keep deflecting it to that sister. No, that's not me. No, that's not me. Has someone ever come to you to ask for forgiveness and you say, no, I don't have anything against you. I'm fine. You're not fine. You're not. You're dying inwardly. Come out of it. You're locked up in that prison of bitterness. Please, before it is too late, that bitterness, if you don't approach it now, this fox, if you don't arrest it now, it will certainly damage the vineyard. It will damage it. It will destroy it. Amen. It could be just because of what, something you did in the past. You're struggling to forgive yourself. How can I do that? Me, a man of God? Me, a woman of God, how can I? Yes, you could. Forgive yourself and move on. Forgive yourself and move on. Carry on. If Jesus Christ is not condemning you, if God is not against you, why are you against yourself? Just forgive yourself and move on. Carry on. God still loves you. Jesus Christ did not shed his blood on this cross like this because of this. Anger, offense, bitterness. Drop them just under the feet of Jesus Christ and move on. Hallelujah. So while the worship team comes to sing, I will ask the prayer team to come out there and I will step down actually and go for prayer. If you're struggling in any part of your Christian life, any area, feel free. Handle it now. Arrest it now before it destroys you. It will definitely do. Remember at the beginning of the message, I said it could be a new message to you. It could be a reminder or it could be an opportunity. It might be the last opportunity before this bitterness handles you and damages you. Miss Havisham, Estella, Ahithophel, Absalom, they all ended badly because of bitterness. My sincere and genuine prayer today is that you will not end badly. Amen. Thank you.